Why don't you just lift up your hands to the Almighty God and give Him glory, worship Him like you have never done before. He's worthy to be praised. There's no one like Him. Thank you, Savior. Oh, glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God.
What a mighty God. We serve. What a mighty God. We serve.
Serving Him.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth are
Almighty God, the one who can make the impossible possible, the one who can reverse the irreversible, we worship you. Thank you because when you open, no man can shut. When you shut, no man can open. When you say yes, nobody can say no. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. In the lives of all your children here today, Father, please do the impossible.
Jesus!
Reverse the irreversible.
Jesus!
Every door that has been shut against your children, force them open.
Jesus!
And the doors that have been opened to your children, keep them permanently open.
Jesus!
Whatever may be their request today, Father, before the sun sets, turn it to a testimony. Let this day be a new beginning for them. A new beginning of greatness, of progress, of promotion, of joy. And Lord, I'm praying especially for the leadership of this particular parish, that you, the great promoter, you will promote them all. You will anoint them specially. Anoint them to do exploits for you. Father, I'm praying that within the next 1 year, this particular parish will have at least a dozen children. And the land that you have provided for them, my Father, my God, I pray that very soon I will come and dedicate a big church. I have a special request for each and every one of your children here today. And that is, Father, surprise them. And let them serve you to the end. Multiply them mightily. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Well, let somebody shout hallelujah. And then shake hands with two or three people and say, God, we surprise you today. And then you may please be seated. God bless you. If you are looking for an evidence that God is still working miracles, that evidence is that I'm here today. Because when your pastor said, Daddy, can you please come? Inviting me to your church in December, and the invitation is coming in November of that same year. I just smiled. I thought, here's a comedian. But, you have to be polite. So I ended up by saying, we will pray about it. And many people who know me very well, they know when I say that, that's another polite way of saying, no way. But here we are. That which you think can never happen, the Almighty God will do for you. Thank you for that clip. Please visit it. About the funny moment, I would love to have a copy. Yeah, I've known Nat for quite a while. There's something about him that I'm sure you already know. He is very submissive to authority. His story is like that of Isaac. There was famine in the land, and Isaac was planning to Joppa. And then the one in authority said, no, you are not going anywhere, you are staying. And he stayed. And God had proved himself. I have good news for you, my son. You have not seen anything yet. I thank God for his wife. Many men had gone astray because they married the wrong person. So if a man remains steady and focused, you know who to thank. So thank you. Thank you. I'm supposed to be here for 20 minutes. I've been here now for almost 1 hour 20. I knew, so. Let's go straight to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. All the big bosses who are here today, the provincial officer, the regional officers, thank you very much for coming to honor us. The Almighty God, we honor you too. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When I was told that your theme this year is from glory to glory, I wanted to participate. Because I want God to move me also from glory to glory. From glory to glory implies from wisdom to wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35, Proverbs 3, 35, tells us that there is a direct link between wisdom and glory. The wise shall inherit glory. And the Bible made it clear that wisdom is the principal thing. And so, if we walk with the wise, according to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, Proverbs 13, verse 20, you walk with the wise, you will be wise. And who is the wisest person you can walk with? Jesus, of course. That's why he says, as you are focusing on Jesus Christ, he will move you from glory to glory, which means he will move you from wisdom to wisdom. Because according to Daniel chapter 2, from verse 20 to 22, Daniel 2, 20 to 22, it's God who gives wisdom to the wise. Wisdom are his. And of course, Jesus Christ himself is the wisdom of God. So I want to decree concerning every one of you here today, in the name that's above every other name, you will move from glory to glory, which implies you will move from wisdom to wisdom. Now, from glory to glory means from wisdom to wisdom, but that means immediately from knowledge to knowledge. Why? Because wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. So you must have knowledge because before you can apply it correctly. Matthew chapter 7, you can read it from verse 24. To 27, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. The Lord said, if you want to see a wise man, he's the one who will listen to what I'm saying and do them. You apply the knowledge I've given to you, and then you'll be wise. So from wisdom to wisdom automatically implies from knowledge to knowledge. I mean, for example, as a young Christian, we were afraid of the devil. Because we, at least people like me, we have seen the devil in action. We grew up among witches and wizards. We have seen the havoc they can do. And they can do havoc. And was this little fair? And when we talk about witches and wizards, we tremble a little. But then we grew in knowledge. We learned that if you submit yourself to God, you can receive the devil, the chairman of all witches and wizards, and he will flee. That solves a lot of problems. Submit to God, yes. Then I can look at the devil and say, hey, get out of here. And he will tremble, really. Knowledge is power. And from that moment up to now, the devil has been running from some of us. There was a time when we felt that if we were going to make it to heaven, it is compulsory that we be poor. Oh, you may not believe it, but around the time when people like me got born again, you are not a good brother if you wear the kind of beautiful dress that you people are wearing. If you have a car, it must be third hand. Oh, yes. Whether you believe it or not, the day after I discovered that what the Bible says is, without holiness, no man shall see God, not without poverty. And things changed. Things changed. All my colleagues were buying Volkswagen. The best of them must be second hand. I bought a Toyota Crown. I was a big fellow at that time, fully air conditioned. Whether you believe it or not, the brethren then said to me, you backslid so soon. Years later, when knowledge increased, one of the people who said that to me came to visit me, and he came in a brand new Peugeot 505, as air conditioned. And I escorted him back to the car. I look at the car. This is your car? He said, I said, oh God, you too? From glory to glory means from knowledge to knowledge. That's why you find people like me, even at my age, that I'm still studying the Word of God to gain more knowledge, more knowledge. And so from knowledge to knowledge automatically means from hearing to hearing. Because if you are going to increase in knowledge, you have to hear the word of God. You have to learn more and more at the feet of those who know better than you. And when we talk about hearing, you must make a difference between hearing and hearkening. If you want to move from glory to glory, you don't just hear. You hearken. To hearken means to listen as if your very life depends on what you are hearing. I've given an illustration to my senior pastors in the past that when I was at Elisha Grammar School in the 1950s, and that's before elders were born. We had a geography teacher, wonderful man. He would teach us throughout the year. And when exam is coming, the day before the exams, because in those days, they write the exam on the blackboard, and then you answer. The day before the exam, he will call us together for what he calls revision. And then he will ask us to ask him questions. And you will ask, what's the difference between Sahara Desert and Kalahari Desert? And he will explain. Tomorrow, question number one is going to be, what is the difference between Sahara Desert and Kalahari Desert? So once we discover that trick, we enjoy ourselves when he's teaching. But during that revision, we hack him. Everything he says when he's asking us to ask him, we, because that's what he's going to determine tomorrow. Some people come to the church to listen. Some come to hearken. We pay attention to everything that is being said, knowing fully well that our tomorrow depends on it. So from glory to glory means from wisdom to wisdom, from knowledge to knowledge, from hearkening to hearkening. See, when you read Deuteronomy 28, from verse 1 to 13, Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1 to 13, some people have read it several times, but never hearken to what is there. What God said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe. Because when you are hearkening, you are taking notes. You know, to observe, to do. Everything I say, then you have it made. You don't even have to worry yourself about enemies. They come against you one way, they will flee seven ways. One way or the other, in a way you can't explain, somehow you reach the top. It's there. Provided you hearken. So, from glory to glory means hearkening to hearkening, which automatically means from faith to faith. Why? Because Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How come some people seem to have more faith than others? Because they have been hearkening. They've been paying attention to what God says. And somehow along the line, they discovered that whatever God says, he settled. Whatever he says he will do, he will do it. Trying to understand how God would do this thing is a waste of time. I've said it before. Your brain is too small to understand how God works. When God says something, that he's going to do something for you, go to bed. It will happen. When he told me, when I was staying in one room in Moshi, son, don't ask me for a house. I've decided to build you a city. It does not make sense. How can you go from one room in motion to having a city? In any case, where's the city going to be? You're going to drive the people in Lagos out of the... But he said it. And the day he took me to where Redemption City is now, he chose a place where nobody will contest with me. Why? Because it's a place full of pythons, poisonous snakes. It's the headquarters of highway robbers. Who wants to buy a land there? And then he took me there and said, that's this place. And 2.2 hectares. God said, that's the city. But once God has spoken, don't worry yourself about details. Don't worry. People come from all over the world now. They come to, you say, are you telling us that this place started with 2.2 acres? I say, liars won't go to heaven. It doesn't matter what some preachers may say. You say you are born again and you are still lying. And you say you make it to heaven. Who is deceiving who? When it is written, outside are liars. So if God says he's going to do something for you, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If it is written, it is settled. That's the truth of the matter. I pray for every one of you that in any time of need, the word of God you have been hearing will come to your remembrance. I've told you, please be seated. I've told you the story of the first time I went on a cruise. My children wanted me to rest. So they said, the best thing, go on a cruise. Nobody can come and disturb you there. And I've said it before. You want a real beautiful holiday, go on a cruise. You can't beat that. Because in the boat, and when we say boat, we are talking of things like giants, like maybe Sheraton Hotel in size. They have several restaurants, and they seem to rejoice if you can eat. Oh, everything is buffet, all you can eat in the morning, all you can eat in the afternoon, all you can eat in the evening. They even have midnight buffet. And I went on this boat, and I was enjoying myself until I think the fifth day. And then the storm came. And when there is a storm at sea, the biggest ship becomes a toy. And everything, the plates were flying off the table. Everything became a bullet. It got so bad that the captain called us together. Ladies and gentlemen, we are having a little problem, but don't worry. We have had worse things before. Storms at sea are in 12 categories. Category 1 is the smallest, 12 is the biggest, and now we are only in category 10. So just go and stay in your cabin. I got back to my cabin. God, what am I doing here? Because the largest river in my village, you can jump over it. Suddenly I heard God speak. He will speak to you today. Son, when I was here on earth, and I was in a boat, and there was a storm, what did the Bible say I was doing? You were sleeping. He said, go to bed. That's all I needed to hear. 2 minutes later, I was fast asleep. By the time I woke up, the storm was over. We were already at the landing point. Anytime I tell the story, people will say, how could you sleep in that situation? Number one, what else could I do? I couldn't swim. And God has spoken. May I be audacious and say to somebody here today, that storm in your life is over. So going from glory to glory means living by faith. Wisdom to wisdom, knowledge to knowledge, hearing to hearing, faith to faith, and living the rest of your life by faith. I've said it before, God is not a talkative. He doesn't have to repeat himself. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard it. The power belongs to God. Let there be light, and there was light. He doesn't have to repeat himself. He's the Almighty. And when he wants to emphasize something, he repeats himself. Verily, verily, I say unto you. If the moment you hear verily, verily, it means God is serious. And then on one occasion, he spoke three times. He repeated himself three times. You can find it, Joshua chapter 1. Read it from verse 1 to 9. Three times, he said, be strong and of good courage. Three times. When he was saying it the third time, there was a hint of anger in his voice. And you can understand. You are tackling a messenger that is going to become president. And no preparation, nothing. He's going to become the leader of a nation. A nation that was so turbulent that the leader who practically saw God after 40 years failed. Because these people were so tough. Now you are now calling a messenger. You will take over. Of course, he trembled. So three times, God said, I'm the one who told you now. I said, be strong, good courage. But do you know, four times, God said, the just shall live by faith. How many times? That will tell you how important that is. You want me to tell you the four places? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Habakkuk 2, 4. Romans 1, 17. Romans 1, 17. Galatians 3, 11. Galatians 3, 11. And Hebrews 10, 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Four times. The God who is not a talkative said, the just shall live by faith. From now on, if you want to move from glory to glory, live by faith. Never doubt God again. If he says he will do this thing, he will do it. Don't worry yourself. Relax. People have always wondered, with the responsibilities that the Almighty God has given to my humble self, how come your blood pressure remains normal? Because I'm here now preaching to you, and yet I'm concerned about what's going on in Russia, what's going on in Ukraine, because we believe it or not, we have churches in Russia. We have churches in Ukraine. Believe it or not, we have churches in Gaza. Just like we have in Israel. So anything that is happening in the world is practically on my table. But do I worry myself? I look at the situation. I pray wherever I need to pray. And after that, I enjoy pandadiam and sleep. See, the problem is people worry for nothing. You worry over something you don't even have control over. I don't know whether I will get a promotion. Promotion comes from God. It's not from you. I'm not sure whether I will get a job when I finish my course. It's God who says if you are not going to work, you won't eat. You think God wants you to die? When I became general overseer at the first year, we had headquarters and 39 parishes. That's all of us. But in those days, the 39 parishes gave me horrors. So when I travel and to go and visit some, by the time I return, my wife will have a list of those ones giving trouble. The landlord in Kaduna is about to throw us out. Your children in Ilorin are quarreling. Then when she finishes, I will say, where's my food? She will say, hey, didn't you hear all I said I had? Won't I eat? When I finish it, I say, let us pray, because usually I arrive in the evening. Father, thank you very much for all you've done. Thank you for joining mercies. And you know the kind of prayer you pray when you are tired. Father, see you tomorrow. And my wife will say, is that all? It is written. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. Why don't I sleep and wait for the morning? How many of you believe your tomorrow will be all right? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. From glory to glory, according to the passage we read, means if you focus on God, focus on Jesus Christ, very soon you become more and more like him. You become more and more like him. He's the one who said that the works I did, you shall do also. Didn't say he say so. He said you will even do greater works. Why is it that some of people pray for the sick and they recover, and some people pray for the sick and they die? It's because the one who prayed for the sick and they died probably didn't believe they were going to be healed anyway. When I pray for the sick, he didn't say I will be the one who will heal them. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. All I need to do is believe him for what he said. Oh, so when you lay hands on the people, you believe they will be healed? Of course. Because my hand is not the one that will do the healing. It is God who will do the healing. All he asked me to do is lay hands on them and I obey. What if you lay hands on them and they don't recover? Don't you feel ashamed? Shame? If they get healed, he will take the glory. And he says he won't share his glory. If they die, he won't share the shame. Do you understand that? Do you know that death is the final healing? That people who die never fall sick again? And do you know that those who get healed, they will still die one day or the other? Otherwise, where is Lazarus? God raised him from the dead, and he still died. Otherwise, I ask you to come and show me his address. Show me where he's living. Do what he asks you to do. Leave the rest to him. The just shall live by faith. And as you decide to live by faith, you become more and more like him. Remember, it is said of him, Exodus 15, verse 11. Exodus 15, verse 11. He says, he is glorious in holiness. Become more and more like him. Your glory will continue to move from one level of glory to another. And because you are living by faith, because you are hearkening, because you are wise, you run away from sin. Because you know when he says the wages of sin is death, he meant it. And so when you hear him say, if you live holy, if you love righteousness and you hate iniquity, he says, I will anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. You know he said that one. And you want anointing. You want your anointing to be more than that of other people. You don't want to be just an ordinary Christian. You want to be one that will be mightily used of God. Then you know what to do. Stay away from sin. Live holy. Live pure. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 14 to 16, 1 Peter 1, 14 to 16, he said, the reason I'm asking you to be holy is because I'm also holy. You're focusing on him. He's moving you from wisdom to wisdom, from knowledge to knowledge. He's moving you from faith to faith, from hearkening to hearkening, from faith to faith. And then you begin to live your life by faith and complete obedience. Very soon people will look at you and say, there's something about you we can't understand. Where do you get your strength from? How come that instead of growing old, you are looking younger? How come that your anointing seems to be superior to that of other people? You see, it's not me. It is God. And so, if you are here today, and you want to move from glory to glory, you already know the secret now. The first thing you have to make your mind up about is, that God who is holy, I want to be like him in every facet of my life. You have to make up your mind. No fooling around anymore. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a kind of Christian that will be even more Christianly from time to time, from day to day. And then, of course, how can you be holy if you are still living in sin and you don't want to say bye-bye to sin? The very first journey to becoming like God is to have your sin washed away. He made arrangement for that. He said it in his word. He said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. But you have to come to him first, for him to wash you clean. So if you are here and you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you've been pretending, you've been coming to church, but you, now you mean business, you want your sins washed away, why don't you step forward? Come and stand before the altar and we pray together and you begin your journey today. So I'm going to count from 1 to 7 so that I give you enough time. 1. Two. You may be the only one. You don't have to wait for anyone. God will send me just for you. 3. You're welcome. Four. Five. Six. Okay, thank you very much. If those of you who might still be on the way, you can keep coming. The rest of us, those of us who are already in front, talk to the Almighty God. Tell him, I want to live by faith. You said if I come and I surrender my life to you, you will take over. I'm surrendering to you. Save my soul. Forgive all my sins. And give me a brand new beginning. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. The rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards our new brothers and sisters and intercede for them. That the one who saved our souls, we also save their souls. That he will forgive all their sins, give them a brand new beginning. Let's pray for them. And if anyone still wants to come, you are not late yet. You can come. And we'll wait for you for one more minute. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. My Father, my God, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation in your word. Thank you for these people who have decided to come forward and surrender completely to you. Father, please receive them. Save their souls. Let your blood wash them clean. And from now on, please, Lord, anytime they cry unto you, answer them by fire. And give them the grace to serve you till the end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those of you who have come forward, you are so special. I will want to give you a handshake. Congratulations. 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 Okay. I think you will go to the counselors. They will want to collect your names, address, and prayer requests. And I promise I'll be praying for you. Well, the rest of you, I've already prayed for you at the beginning. It's now your turn to cry to God. I mean every word of your prayer, knowing the implication. You lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, beginning from now, move me from glory to glory. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God.